Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Hi Petra. We recently recorded an episode, and it's been long released, about different types of coaches. I think we even noted in that episode there are 7,500 product coaches on LinkedIn. Naturally, the question that came out of this was, okay, great. I see why there's types of coaches and why I might want a coach versus training. How in the world do I pick a coach?
That's a tricky one, isn't it? Yeah, I think one of our listeners was particularly asking for red flags in coaches, or green flags when finding a coach. So maybe that's something that we should dive into real quick. What do you think?
Yeah, I love this framing of like, what's a red flag? What should tell me? Like, I think what's hard in any profession is once it starts to get trendy and everybody wants to do it, we need some filters. Like, okay, how do I know that you're any good? And we might have a little bit of bias here because we both work as coaches. I get that. We're not trying to get you to just buy our coaching. In fact, I think we both have plenty of work. I think it's really around this idea of like, if I'm going to invest in coaching, how do I know I'm picking the right person? How do I know I'm not just getting the last person that added coach to their LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so let's imagine the situation. Somebody has a need for coaching. They already understood that coaching is the thing that could help them right now. So they're now looking for a coach, and they listened to our other episode about different types of coaching that is available for product people. So let's assume that happened as well. And now they want to go find a product leadership coach, or a product discovery coach, or even a leadership coach. So there are differences in that. And if you're wondering what the differences are, then I recommend the other episode that we recorded. But now let's focus on, you have compiled a list of, let's say, 20 product leadership coaches, and there is no shortage of them, I promise. So it's easy to compile a list of 20 of them. How would you actually go about picking one that actually works for you? So what are these red flags or green flags?
Yeah, can we be even more extreme? Like,
please.
I want you to tell me, when I'm looking at their LinkedIn profiles, or I've emailed them, or I've had a first call with them, what are indicators I should just rule them out?
Yeah. So real quick, what you want to see is relevant experience. And that already is a bit of a tricky one, because if you're looking for a product discovery coach, you want somebody that has relevant experience in product and in discovery and in coaching, right?
Yeah.
So we need all three. And how I like to frame it, so I saw amazing coaches that were maybe not the best product discovery product manager themselves, but while they were doing it, and here's what we're talking about, in various setups. So I want somebody to have experience in the thing that I want them to coach me on in various setups. They learned a thing or two. And a lot of the coaches are didactically really savvy, so to say. So they understood a lot about the topic, and then they reflected on how they could help others to get better in that, and maybe even avoid some of the mistakes that they made or something like that. But we really want people that know product in various setups, so different teams, different companies, maybe different company sizes, maybe even different industries. And people that know coaching. And coaching comes in all sorts and forms. So we talked about that in one of the earlier episodes. But just real quick, you don't necessarily need somebody with a 3-year coaching degree if you're looking for product discovery coaching. You would rather look for somebody who has an idea about product discovery and knows how to talk to people, communicate, structure things, help you to gain clarity, help you to follow up on the things that you actually gave yourself as a task or something like that. But it really depends. If you're looking for leadership coaching, that might be different. because then you have the higher stakes challenges, you have the harder problems to tackle. Most of the problems are interpersonal problems more than they are tools and frameworks and methodology problems. And then the coaching certificate maybe is more important than the product expertise. So be clear on what you're looking for, and then think about what is relevant expertise that I want to look for on their LinkedIn profile. So I think this is a first good test, I'd say.
I think I'm hearing a distinction between like a hard skill or a domain.
Yes.
Plus experience, plus maybe coaching toolkit.
So yeah.
Domain might be leadership, or it might be product discovery, or it might
the pharma industry.
Or it might be an industry, pharma, or it could be complex B2B. Ecosystems, right?
Yeah.
So that's like a domain. Like, so if I want to coach and I need help in a very specific domain, clearly I want to make sure my coach has experience in that domain.
Yeah.
The second bucket I would say is the experience piece. And I think I heard you say it's less important they have experience, a depth of experience doing, but they should have a depth of experience coaching in that domain.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So, exactly.
And then the third bucket is for some domains, actually having a formal coaching credential could be helpful, but it's not the case for all domains.
And I agree. I know a lot of talented product coaches who have not had a coaching degree when they started to coach product people. Yeah. Oftentimes at some point, all of us did one. For example, I don't hold a big coaching certificate. I did plenty of smaller coaching training and all these kind of things, but I don't hold a UC Berkeley coaching certificate or something like that. That's never something that I was striving for because my coaching is so product related. Yeah. So I'm not saying that you should rule out somebody from your shortlist just because they don't have a big coaching degree. But you should definitely rule out a product coach that has no product experience.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
It's not.
Yeah. So like if we were to convert this into red flags, if they're not experienced in your in the domain that you want coaching on, rule them out.
Yes. Rule them out.
I think the second bucket, though, might be a little bit harder because here's the challenge. Let's say that I'm looking for, you have experience in my domain. Do you have experience coaching people in that domain? Like ideally the answer is yes, but then how does anybody get started as a coach?
Yeah, the thing is people overestimate, all of my clients always overestimate that industry knowledge and subject matter expertise needs to be given before I start coaching them. And that is because of the nature of product management itself to some extent, because good product people wrap their head around whatever domain. Because if an engineer can put it in if, then else, then a product person can reduce the complexity of what you're working with tremendously as well. So can a product coach. So no matter if I was coaching people in container shipping or pharma or air freight or whatever, e-commerce, it is not that hard for me as a product coach to work with the people working in these domains because they are the subject matter experts. And frankly, you need a coach with a fast-paced CPU, I'd say, because I need to understand what area and industry they operate in. And I need to some extent, use their lingo and the terminology real quickly. So that's definitely something that you want to look for. But I don't have to understand the nuts and bolts of their business to coach them on the conflict that they're currently having with their CFO. Yeah. So it's just not a thing.
I think maybe we could frame this as they have to have a coaching mindset.
Yes.
And I think the coaching mindset could come from having done a coaching credential because that's a lot of what you learn in a coaching program. But also a lot of former leaders that manage teams might have developed a coaching mindset. So like just to help people, a coaching mindset, you want to look for somebody who's focused on developing your skills, not telling you what to do.
Exactly. And not only giving advice and not having a strong opinion of about everything you say, right?
Helping develop your perspective, your opinion.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So like, to me, a coaching mindset is it's all about you. It's not about them and their expertise. It's about you, where you are, helping you take the next step. I'm going to come be your teacher.
Yeah, no, a good coach always puts you in the driver's seat of the coaching as well. But that's, by the way, something that if you have a first chemistry call or if you have first emails, so that's definitely something that you want to see. Are they putting you in the driver's seat of this coaching experience? So is it clear how you are running the show, so to say? So for example, I always tell them, hey, I grant you the time on my calendar, you book it. Whenever you think you need a coaching session, you book it. You decide on if it's an email or if it's a Loom video, or if it's a Slack message or if it's a call that we're having, whatever works best for you. So I really try to make sure that people understand it's their coaching journey. So that's, for example, something you want to look for. And then I think good coaches, and that's really where you can get some off your shortlist, is do they have... What approach are they using to coach you? So a one-size-fits-all approach, definitely not something you're looking for, because then you can actually book a training. And equally harmful is no approach or a lack of a transparency to the coaching approach. So for example, what are they using to get you going? So is there a self-assessment happening in the beginning that helps the coach to understand where you actually are? And is then the coach helping the person to identify what I call learning headlines or something like that? Areas of development is something how you can call it. So do they have an approach? Can they talk you through the approach? Do you understand the approach that they would be using? And do you vaguely have a concept of how the coaching actually will unfold? So I think that is something that you would like to hear and see in the first call and conversations.
Okay. And then I know you have this big list of red flags. Tell me, I'm having my initial call or my initial emails with a coach. What are some things that are telling me to run away?
Over-promising on results. So I will, for example, I often get people asking me, hey, can you help me with career coaching? That's something that I'm not doing. But career coaches, for example, maybe would, I overpromise you, you will get the promotion. I promise you will get the promotion. If you work with me for 3 months, I promise you get the promotion. I find that is, both you and I know that's not how the world works, right? So that's definitely a red flag, I would say. Then it's always, that's a basic one, is if they're overly salesy. So if they really try high pressure sales tactics on you and rushing you into this coach engagement.
You know, I want to double click a little bit on this guaranteeing results. Cause like with a coach, it seems obvious. Like I can't control whether you get a job or not, but I think what you're saying applies even in other areas. So like, let's talk about customer interviews. I'm both a trainer in customer interviews and a coach in customer interviews.
Yeah.
It seems like a hard skill. Like it's a very tangible skill. Like you as an individual, should I guarantee that you're going to learn how to interview well in my course? Or can I guarantee you're going to interview well if I coach you? In both cases, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Still,
I
right?
agree.
Even though like it's an individual skill. And here's why. Like in my training, I can provide lots of high quality educational content. I can provide practice time. We do both of those things. But if you don't show up and do the work, if you don't take the practice seriously, if you don't, if you just consume the content and you don't engage it thoughtfully, I can't take knowledge out of my head and put it in your head as a trainer. As a coach, I still can't do that. Like I can't force you to practice. I can't force you to absorb. I can't force you to do the work in either of these contexts. And I think this is something that we still have this old model of like, no, you're going to transfer knowledge from your head to my head and you're going to make me better.
Yeah, that is definitely in the B2B case. So when I'm selling to an organization that I then pick up coaching with, let's say 6 or 10 of their product leaders. they always ask me what the guaranteed results are. So will they then understand, or will there be less conflicts with this department, or all of these things? And I'm super frank with them and say, like, I have no freaking clue. Because especially coaching, and that's maybe my take on coaching, they have done this 10 sessions with me and some emails and Slack messages, right? So over the course of 6 months. And it is totally up to them what topics they bring up, what currently is their biggest struggle, what challenges they're having. And if an organization wants me to touch upon certain topics with the people, then I rather would advise them to book some workshops. Because that's not how coaching works. So the coachee comes with whatever struggle they have this particular day or this particular week. And then I have a conversation with them about it. I help them gain clarity on the topic, and I help them to identify, do they want to do something about it, or do they want to sit with it for another 4 weeks? That's fine as well. So what are we going to do about it? Do they need more information, more input? Sometimes they need advice if they're a bit more junior. So that's on the coach then to balance that. And especially in the B2B company setting, I always make sure that I make the case that it might happen. And in my experience, by the way, in 50% of all the cases, at some point I have the conversation with the coachee, should I stay at that company or should I leave?
Yeah.
So, and if the company is paying me for the coaching, and then I have this leaving conversation with the coaches, I want the organizations to know that that's a natural part of the coaching journey. That's something that people often ask. And I think it's in favor of everybody. It's this love it, change it, or leave it thing.
Yeah.
So if an employee doesn't love where they actually are, and if they don't think they can change anything about it, I always challenge them to try hard and harder and harder. But then maybe leaving is an option. And I want this conversation to be okay and covered by the organization paying for the coaching.
Yeah. And I mean, it does benefit the organization, because if it's not a good fit, then it's not a good fit for either side. But okay, I think the point I was trying to make, and I think you agree with this, is you do the work in coaching, the coachee, the person getting the coaching.
Yes.
Like, I love your analogy of the person getting coaching is in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And if you're meeting with a coach that's telling you otherwise, that is probably a red flag.
Of course, it's such a red flag. Yeah. And then they mix sometimes training and coaching, and that's not a good sign either.
Yeah, this one is a little tough, because we do training and coaching, and we do sometimes mix them. But I think we did a training versus coaching episode. We don't have to rehash this.
Yes, exactly. We talked about it in detail.
Possible the same person can train and coach.
Yes,
they're just different models.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what else is on your list?
Yeah,
tell me about one size fits all.
Yeah, one size fits all is some coaches have learned in their coaching course or whatever, a particular way to run a coaching session, and they cannot deviate from that approach.
Yeah.
So every coaching session feels a bit artificial and repetitive in
its
structure.
You're on a track.
Yeah,
you're on the same track as everybody else.
To some extent. Yeah. Exactly. And this is definitely not something that is enjoyable and getting you the results that you're hoping for when booking and opting in for coaching. So that's definitely something that you want to check in one of the chemistry calls. And two other things that I think is possible is ask them about relevant information. So as said, I'm not a big fan of the coach has to have industry and subject matter expertise in your particular industry or the area you're operating in as an organization. But still, I would ask them what relevant information their experience they're having after you told them where you currently are and what your current challenges are. And then they can draw from wherever, but I think I would love to see, can they relate to the problem that you're having? And do they think they have helped similar clients that had similar problems? And of course, answers can be lip service, but I think humans get the idea if they really have some experience. And some publish, user success stories on my blog. I have a long list of the companies that I've worked with. So do a bit of the background check there. I think it sounds boring, but I still think it's worth to do a bit of a checking the obvious things. And it's the same applies to, that's a good question that I get rarely asked, but I would love people asking it more often, is, am I having a coach myself, or what kind of coaches I had in my life and in my career, and how that was helpful to me? Therapists count, by the way, I'd say. So have they ever been to therapy or something like that? Sometimes that's too personal of a question. So I would rather ask for the coaching experiences that they had, because a coach to some extent always should have a coach, not all the time, always. I'm not a fan of that. There is a book that is called The Prosperous Coach, where they advocate for that, which is a massive snowball scheme then in the end, if every coach has a coach. Anyways, I'm not a big fan of that idea, but at least a coach should have had the experience of how does it help to work with a coach myself. So I think that's a great filter question as well.
I think that helps a lot with the coaching mindset, is have you experienced being on the other side of it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know, like for me, as part of my master's program, coaching was one element of it. And so we took in our coaching classes.
Oh, yeah, you already shared that. Yeah.
We always did coaching circles where we practiced coaching each other. And we actually stole this format from my interviewing course. We practice interviewing each other. And we think that, like, oh, we're learning when we are the person coaching. Mm-hmm. But it turns out we're also learning when we're receiving the coaching.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
And that's why I borrowed this format. It was really powerful. So we learn when we interview someone, but we also learn when we get interviewed. And so I think it is actually, I agree with this one a lot. I don't think it means you have to have worked with a coach for a long time. I don't think it has to mean that you always have a coach. I don't currently have a coach. I don't think that's a problem.
Fitness coach, maybe. But it counts as well. I have a fitness coach right now, which counts as well. So there is a coaching.
I have a fitness coach.
See?
Okay. So I think it's just that, do you have experience with both sides of this relationship? Because it goes a long way. Coaching is a lot about meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been in their shoes, it's going to be hard to meet them where they are.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think that's an easy question that you can ask somebody in your chemistry call in the beginning, and then the reaction tells you a lot.
Yeah, this is okay. So, I'm gonna try to recap because we're going kind of long here. I think the theme that I can pull across everything we just talked about with coaching in particular, finding the right fit matters a lot.
Yeah,
and the right fit could be any number of dimensions, the domain that you want coaching on, their level of experience. It could just be their chemistry with you.
Yeah, alignment with your needs and cultural and philosophical fit, all of these things.
I think the one that people don't look for enough is a coaching mindset. And I think part of this is because we want someone to tell us what to do.
Yeah. And that's
don't
not
want
what
that.
You're looking.
Let that don't. Go. You don't want that in a coach. Yeah. You don't want a coach who's going to tell you what to do. You want a coach who's going to help you develop your own perspective.
And help you gain clarity on the challenges that you're currently having, why they are challenging, what's your personal part of it, what's kind of a systematic part of it. So all these kind of things.
And I think this is really key, because you want to leave your coaching engagement empowered to go keep growing on your own. And if a coach just tells you what to do, as soon as that coach is gone, you're done growing.
Your crutch is gone.
Whereas if the coach helps you develop your own perspective and helps you identify the next step, which is why you're in the driver's seat, you're not just getting help with the immediate thing you wanted coaching on. You're getting help that you carry forward now in the rest of your career.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you, Teresa, for summarizing it so well.
Awesome. Thank you, Petra.